Minibar-Geständnisse aus Zimmer 101. Carsten Karat im Gespräch mit Tina Norden.
Hello everybody. I brought you somebody who is a very special person in the world of fashion, in the world of design, in the world of beauty. Somebody who works for and with a studio in Hong Kong and in London. It's the Conran Design Studio. And I understand, Tina, that you started in 1997. It's a long time ago, I know. And you already joined the board of directors in 2016. Mm. Tina Norden is here. Tina is from Hamburg. However, we have decided to speak English because Tina studied in England. And she's been instrumental in bringing Conran into Asia. You set up the offices in Hong Kong and you grew the business tremendously to such an extent that I understand that 2 years ago you became partner and you bought together with others the company.
That's right. Yeah. The company goes back about 35 or so years, 40 years probably by now. So Terence set it up and very much instilled it with his own design philosophy. But
Sir Terence Conran.
Sir Terence Conran. That's right. Exactly. Yes. TOC, as we call him. Mm-hmm. So it was always about design for the people. And I think that's something we still very much believe in. And I think that's why hospitality is such a big part of what we do, because hospitality is designed for people, really. And Conran and Partners have been going ever since, really, in different kind of guises. And Hong Kong has been a big part of our story for the last 6 years.
I remember when I was a young man, I worked in London. And Terence was then setting up huge restaurants.
Yeah.
I said, how can this work?
Yeah.
Paulinos was one of the first one.
Yeah.
And he started, 35 years ago?
Yes, yeah, probably slightly longer, because he was actually involved in the Festival of Britain, which was right after the war when the Royal Festival Hall was built. So that's when he started off as a designer, and he then had a little restaurant called the Soup Kitchen.
Yes, of
which
course.
Which was in West London.
Very famous.
And that's really how he started. And he always had a real nose for what the zeitgeist was. He always had
a business,
which comes totally into it. So he always had a nose for what the next big thing would be and believed in it. And was really a trailblazer in many different ways.
Come on, share with us. What is the next big thing? What do you think is the next big thing in design?
Well, I think in many ways, the next big thing is that there isn't a big thing. And I think that's a good thing. Sorry for the pun. But I think it's getting much more diverse. It's getting much more personal. And it's getting much more niche orientated and specialized. So I think that's actually the exciting and interesting thing for us, that it's not about one big trend anymore, but it's about a number of things happening in parallel and for different people and different audiences.
Interesting you say that. I spoke to Horst Schulze yesterday, and he said there's so much commodity out there that now the niche, the individualization, the special focus on smaller things is probably the next big thing. So same goes then for design.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I would definitely agree with that.
What originally inspired you to dive into architecture and design?
Well, the simplest answer to that is that my father was a landscape architect in Hamburg and always took me to side. So I was really interested in that design aspect of it, but I don't have a green thumb. So I realized that actually plants is probably not what I should be doing. I should probably be looking at buildings. So that's how it all started. My second career choice was becoming a diplomat. But I realized that actually what I do now is kind of both, because when you're dealing with clients, when you're dealing with people around you, when you're dealing with, you know, people using your spaces, you kind of have to be a bit of a diplomat as well.
I was reading a statement which wasn't so diplomatic from you, and please help me understand that you said style over fashion.
Yes, I very much believe in that, because I think fashion is one of those things. I love fashion, and fashion works very well when you're talking about a skirt or whatever it is, but architecture and interiors is a big investment for our clients. So I think if we aim too much towards fashion, it becomes obsolete very quickly. So I think it's for us, it's about creating a style that has more strengths than fashion and can survive fashion and can just become its own kind of statement, its own thing. And as a result of that, can survive much longer.
So let's talk about style for a minute. What is the most stylish project dearest to your heart?
Wow. Of my own?
Of someone else's? Of course, of your own.
Well, you know, usually fastest designers is always the last one we've done because obviously that's the latest one to us. But there's definitely some projects that are closer to my heart. So, for example, one of them is a project we did in Prague, which is the Hotel Maximilian. And it was for a family-owned business. They have three hotels. And it was a very personal project. Eva Jirigna did the original building and the original design. So we stepped into very big footprints. And it was just a very particular, very loved, very kind of thought through and in the end, hopefully, a very beautiful project. So that's definitely one that is very close to my heart.
One of the brands which had been, not so recognized in, lately, and now all of a sudden is reflowering, is Peninsula.
Yes.
I looked at the Peninsula in Hong in London. I was amazed. I'm going to the Peninsula in Hong Kong soon. And I understand you were involved in the cafe. Help us
in
understand.
In a very tiny, tiny part of it, of course. But yes, we were. And we started that. Actually, that was a kind of... Just before the pandemic, we were chosen to do the new identity for the cafe and boutique, which is actually a very important part for them. It's very small, but because it's very much about their brand and how the brand is displaying itself to the world. And importantly, displaying itself to maybe different tiers of people, not just people who can afford to stay at the Peninsula, but also people who might just buy a chocolate or might just buy a cake or have a cup of coffee. So it's very much kind of a face to the world. And we were tasked...
Almost a democratic approach.
Very democratic. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And I think that's very important. And so we were tasked to come up with a new identity for this. And we developed that together with the Peninsula team and then applied it to... two sites, Hong Kong and London, but we also did a design guide. So other designers can now take it and apply it to different places around the world. So it was a real challenge for us as designers, but we loved it. And in London now, the boutique and cafe is right at the entrance on the side street.
Yeah.
And many people won't know this, but it was actually a planning requirement because there used to be a cafe beforehand. I'm not going to name any brands. And it was very much kind of part of the community. And they said, actually, if the Peninsula goes there, they have to have something there, which is for the community. And that's what they've done. And it, even though it's tiny, the footprint is smaller than this room, it's actually the first thing people see when they come into the hotel. And lots of people have commented on the cafe, even though in the realm of the whole hotel, it's virtually nothing.
We talked about Sir Terence for a minute. Apart from him, who were the people who mostly influenced you positively in your career?
Obviously, I'm naming names, but it's, you know, that people may not know, but it was certainly people that I worked with at the time. Richard Doon was the managing director at the time, and he very much influenced me in terms of being very, very particular, being very design focused, being very thorough. And I also had a female designer leading me, Tina Ellis, also Tina, who'd worked with Terence for many, many, many years, and who... I guess, you know, it's important for us to have role models of our own gender, of our own, you know, where we come from, etc. So having a strong female character there to, you know, to show me the ropes was very important, I think, in my development.
Let's dig a little deeper into, you know, the philosophy of you and yourself and the design. What role do art or creativity play in human existings per se? What do you think? How important is that?
I mean, for me, I would love to say, and I do believe that it's huge and it's really, really important. I think when you look back at science, you know, there's so much proof that, you know, art, the environment, et cetera, can really influence how people feel and how they behave, et cetera. So I do believe it's absolutely fundamental. And I think putting ourselves into an environment, a museum, or going to see, you know, art, or going to see, you know, theater, it's a profound experience. It's something that we as human beings can bond, but we can also... You know, it's something that goes deeper inside of us and that I think unlocks things that maybe we're not so conscious about. And I certainly feel like if I'm stuck creatively to go and see things, to, you know, experience something like that, it kind of opens things up again and it unlocks things. And I think it allows us to, you know, to bring our own creativity out by being, you know, exposed to someone else's creativity, someone else's craft.
If you go back into your childhood, what is the very first memory you have?
That's an interesting one. I think it's probably traveling with my parents. You know, they were very early on already, you know, we did quite a lot of travel when I was a kid, and I always loved, you know, packing up in the car or, you know, sometimes even getting on a plane and going somewhere exciting. And I think that stuck with me, you know, all the way through.
You know, we all intend to speak about positive things and we like beauty and we like fashion and we like colors and fruitful things. But there is the other part of the world. There's the suffering and there's the negativity. Do you think suffering makes oneself selfish or apply more to empathy?
I think it's a very tricky one, and I think it's very easy for us in our comfortable world that we live in to not look at, you know, people who are not as lucky as we are. But I think it's so important to remind ourselves that not everybody, you know, has the luxuries that we have, you know, and it's not that we're rich, but has the luxuries. And I think just thinking about exposing yourself to all of the world and not just the part that we feel comfortable with and making ourselves feeling very uncomfortable is a really good thing, I think.
Yeah, you know, twice a year I go and starve myself, not to death, but I don't eat for 10 days.
Ah, yes.
And it not only cleans the body, but it cleans the mind. The first 3 days are awful. Mm. And the next 7 days are terrible for my colleagues because, you know, I burst so much creativity and they get so many mails that all of a sudden. Luxury corrupt primarily or it craves? What do you think?
I think there's so many definitions of luxury now and you know, how that is applied really makes a big difference in that. I think there are some amazing schemes out there where, you know, hotels are placed on islands and they protect the islands. They're super expensive to go to, but they do something positive for their surroundings. And I think where luxury can be a positive is when it actually does something for its wider environment and not just for its own little kind of ecosystem. And I think that's what we, you know, need to remind ourselves of. It creates workplaces, you know, it creates a focal point, it creates income for different areas. So I think that's where luxury can also be a positive thing.
You know, it's great talking to you. I've been working with other designers and myself at a hotel company where I worked with a Dutch hotel designer. Mm. And it's great to see that you are obviously very open-minded. You are also kind at heart. It's very different to those who want to apply their standards and their creativity to others. I'm glad you don't do that. I have a few rapid questions. Mm-hmm. Are you a dog or a cat person?
Dog.
Okay. What's his name or her name?
Unfortunately, I don't have one, but I grew up with one called Sancho.
Okay, so. Sancho. Do you prefer a year without internet or without travel?
Oh, without internet.
You read classic books or modern bestsellers?
I read mostly nonfiction. And usually kind of people that interest me and fascinate me.
So like biographies?
Yes, I read a lot of biographies, yes.
And yourself, do you prefer the city life or the countryside?
Ah, this is a tricky one. I love living in the city, but I grew up in the countryside. So I think I have a foot in both.
For both. Mm. Now, obviously art is very important to an interior designer. Mm. And I always read that the design is just the surface and the art is everything behind it. Mm. But would you prefer in your private collection classical art or modern art?
Modern art.
Yeah? No classical at all?
No classical at all, no. I wouldn't say that. But I think modern art just speaks to me more because it feels more relevant to my life and my own being.
Sunset or sunrise?
Oh, that's a really difficult question. I would have said sunset always, but I actually am more of a sunrise person these days.
You're an early person?
Yes.
Well, then it helps, of course.
Yes.
Now, if you travel, you prefer traveling by plane or by train?
Actually, if I could, by train, because I really enjoy the connection to, you know, the countryside and everything that you see outside of that. But obviously, when you're talking distances, plane is preferable.
Last one, what's your favorite hotel?
That's a really difficult question. And I've been mulling that one over. And I probably have to say there's a tiny, tiny little place in, called Desert Hot Springs, which has an old motel that is now a 12-room hotel. And it's absolute heaven on earth. And it's the escape from everything.
What does it make heaven on earth? Heaven on earth?
I think just the fact that it strips everything down to the bare minimum and just gives you what you need in that moment to feel good. It's got hot springs, and it's got peace and quiet, and it's got beautiful sunshine, and that's kind of all you need once in a while.
Tina, it's been great talking to you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.